Well, it was 11:15 or 11 o'clock when I heard it last night, and I don't know how many of you heard it, but I just jumped out of my skin and I praised God, and it was really something. It really was. It was Stephen Rowan that I heard the news from on the late news. And as I came in at 8 o'clock, one of them mentioned it to me, and again at 9:15, we were praising God and just jumping up and down after service and before service. It just was great. What a joy it is to be alive in this day and age. I praise God and I thank Him, and I feel so good that I may even move around that rug that my wife has been asking me for 8 months to move. Some of you may have heard last night, you know, the Bible says when Israel returns in the latter days, and they have, they would capture the holy city, they have, they would become a nation in one day, they were, and that time Humpty Dumpty would come together again. All the 10 nations that formed the ancient Roman Empire would gradually come together in 10. I've been preaching this. Mentioned it in Niagara Falls when I was there. I preached it in 1966 and 1965 when I first came here. Some of you smiled. I'm smiling now. Praise God. You heard the news last night. Britain is now formally in. I kind of wish they'd pull out and Spain would take their place, but they're in. And they signed it with Denmark and Ireland and Norway to make the 10 nations, after 2,000 years, without a war, to freely come together. At the same time, Israel has come together, as God predicted. Oh, are we on the schedule for God's prophecy? You know, it's something about a Christian. When you know God's word, you got to light up and you got to praise God when you read the papers, you know? You know, it's like, remember on the road to Emmaus? There were Christians, but they didn't know God's word. And they thought Jesus was dead, and all they knew was bad news. And Jesus stopped them in the middle and he said, "What are you so glum about? What are your faces down in the ashes for?" And they said, "Haven't you heard?" He said, "Haven't you heard the news?" And they said, "What news? What news?" He said, "Where you been?" And he said, "Oh, you fools and blind and slow to believe all that the prophets have predicted. And beginning from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he expounded unto them the fulfillment thereof. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened unto us the scripture?" Praise God. After 2,000 years, with our eyes we see. You know, and you're going to get Christians dragging their mouths along and their chin way up to the curb, wondering, "Oh, what's the world coming to?" It's coming to the kingdom, praise God. You know that prayer you've been saying, "Thy kingdom come"? Man, the king is coming. You better believe it. You know, Jesus said, "In the latter days I say unto you, blessed will your eyes be that will see the things that your eyes will see, and hear the things that you will hear. For prophets and kings have desired to see those things and have not seen them, and to hear those things and have not heard them." Praise God, we're seeing them, and we're hearing them. And Jesus said, most of the people in the church would not believe it. Remember, like the children of Israel, they knew God's word. They had a form of religion. Oh, they could memorize the prayer book. But it said, having a form, but no power thereof. But they wouldn't believe a word of it. Remember, Jesus said about the 10 virgins, the 10 Christians. 5 were wise and 5 were fools. 1 out of every 2, Jesus said. And when the king came, and the kingdom shouted with the cry of the archangel, and the Lord returned, 5 were ready, but the other 5 were foolish. And they said, "We have no oil, and our lamps have gone out." Remember, what were their lamps? If they missed the kingdom and the door was closed on them, and Jesus said, "Thou missed the signs of the times, I know thee not." It says in the Bible, for that the word of God, the Spirit, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They didn't know their Bible. And not discerning the signs of the times, they missed the kingdom and were shut out. Praise God, we know the Bible. Well, to get back from the clouds into the pulpit, we are in the third of a series on the Jewish people, called in the Bible and Daniel the holy people, the children of Israel. This is the third in a consecutive series on the Jewish people. In the first address 3 weeks ago, we learned the meaning of the name Israel and how vital it was to understand the history of the Jews. We said what it implied. We touched upon the meaning of Joseph's dream of the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars. Remember, that's vital. Never forget that. Of Isaiah's vision of the woman who bore the child, and we explained the meaning of time, times, and half a time. Remember? All in one. Then the following week, we touched upon Israel in the present. And we went through the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, where God named the old names of the countries which would be an alliance against Israel in the latter days before the last great war. And he named them in the fifth verse of the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. He said Israel would find as its enemy Meshech or Muscoi. Remember, we went right through the parallel and it hit right up on that parallel in longitude. Moscow. And they would be allied with Iran, the Bible calls it Persia, Ethiopia, their old name is Cush, and Libya, their old name is Put, and East Germany, their old name is Gomer in the Bible, and parts of Turkey and Armenia, they were called Beth-Pogromov. Fantastic. And that's just what we were reading today. I picked up U.S. News and World Report Monday, I subscribed to it, and it said, guess what? Libya seems to be moving toward Russia. Who would have guessed it? Thank God that he told us 2,000 years ago. Praise God. Today, Israel in the future, and next week, the last war and the coming of Christ, and that will be the end of this series on prophecy and the Jewish people. Today, Israel in the future, and that of all the nations as the Word of God sees it, is our theme today. But before I can explain to you next week what God says about how man's last war will suddenly be interrupted and how peace will spread over the whole earth, we have to put down a foundation. And what we will do today is a Bible study foundation, a technical verse-by-verse study of a few verses. And I know this is not the most exciting thing when you put a foundation down, but it's important. It's important now for the last of the series of sermons next week. So it is a foundation, and it is not that exciting, but I'm excited about it. You know, I've called on almost every family in this parish whenever a new family comes, and no one that I've knocked at the door, no woman has ever answered and said, Father Raymond, how good to see you. We've just moved in town. I want to quick take you downstairs and show you the foundation. That's the last thing they show me. They say, let me show you our beautiful new house. And so I thank you, I love you. Oh, around upstairs, and then downstairs in the main house, and I never get down there. I think that's where the ironing and the wash and all the children suffer. Unless, of course, it's a rec room and it's paneled over or painted over a family or den. So now, be patient with me. This will be the foundation for next week. And that will be the end of this series of sermons. You already understand time, times, and half a time, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, the woman in childbirth. We have no time to review that now. But building on that with this, the truth of what would happen and when Christ would come the first time and the second time was given in Daniel, the 9th chapter, verses 24 and 27. But before I can even get to that, I've got to place a foundation on the foundation. And that is, there is in the Bible what is called a broken time gap series, for lack of a better word, a time warp between different verses when you read them. If you read quickly, you may miss it. And I'd like to point that out to you, how it occurs in different ways, before we get to the main text that was enclosed in the bulletin today. If you will turn to Psalm number 2 in the Bible, on page 465, you'll see what I mean about time gaps, or time warps, in the Bible. It's on page 465. Now this is Psalm number 2. Because of the lack of time, I wouldn't have time to read through all the verses, but while I'm speaking, maybe with your eye you can read. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 4 describes, now this was written 600 years before Christ, 6 centuries BC. And this, verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 2, describes all the nations at war as to who is to rule the earth. See, why do the nations aspire, the people plot, all at war? Every generation, a different nation tries to decide who's top dog to have the best system to rule the world. In verse 6, God tells us that it is his intention, remember this is 600 B.C., to set up a world-ruling king on Mount Zion on the throne of David, but that child had not even been born when this psalm was written hundreds of years before Christ. So do you see, between verses 1 to 4 and 5, verse 6 is a gap which has yet to be fulfilled. Christ is not yet on his throne in power and glory. Now, verse 7 describes Christ's birth, and that happened 2,000 years ago, and it was predicted when this psalm was written 600 years ahead of time. You see there in verse 7, I will tell a decree. Now, this is 600 B.C. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. But he didn't then. It wasn't until the first Christmas, when the Holy Spirit came into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that Christ was begotten, and then later born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, begotten by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Do you see what I mean? In verses 8 and 9, there is a description of an event that has not yet even occurred. Christ's return and his rule. God says in verse 8, I will make the nations your heritage. Is he ruling the nations yet? Not yet. Oh, he will. That's the symbolism of that statue holding the earth with his cross on top of it. He's going to. And verse 8 and verse 9, you will break them, that is the governments of the world, with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces. Has he done that yet? No, not yet. But he will. But you see, between verse 8 and 9 and 7, there's a gap. 2,000 years. A time warp. It still hasn't been fulfilled. But it will be. All the way through the Bible, you have this type of gapping. So you have to read carefully. Now, we do this all the time. This is really not that foreign. If you meet a friend and you haven't seen them, say it's the summer's over and you just get back in September from your vacation, and you meet Joe over there, there's always a Joe, and you say, hiya, Joe, how you been? And he says, fine, Mike, and how you been? And you say, where you been, Joe? Well, I've been in Alabama, and I went down to Louisiana, and I went all through the South. And then you say, Joe, did you get to California where you always wanted to go? And Joe says, no, Mike, I didn't get there, but someday, dot, 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 end of quote. And he doesn't have to say anything. His friend right away knows he means well, though he didn't even finish the saying, there's a time gap. He didn't get there, but someday he plans to get there, and a whole set of conditions are involved. You know Joe, and you say, well, he means when he gets a better job, when he gets a few more weeks vacation, when things work out. Someday, he didn't have to finish. You knew what he said. He'll go on, and he'll make that trip. We speak like this all the time in gaps. And this is exactly what the Bible does. It speaks in gaps. And when you know the Bible like you know Joe, you'll know when the gaps are there. And even if you don't know it, there are ways when you can tell, and we will get to that today. Now, the next point is Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, and it's found on page 859. Page 859. In this chapter, the disciples, all Jews, remember, asked Jesus, when is the end of the age and your coming rule on the planet Earth? When's it going to come? Jesus said, all you guys are going to have to die. You're never going to see it. But he said, there'll be certain signs. Now look at verse 15 on page 859. Matthew 24, 15. Jesus said, so when you, now who's the you, hemon in the Greek? It's the Jews. There weren't any Christians. He's talking to the 12 apostles, the 12 Jews, then and later at the end of the age. He says, now when you see the desolating sacrilege, we'll get to that next week, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. He says, when you see that happen, he says, then, in verse 21, will occur the great tribulation, in verse 22, in which all humanity would be destroyed, unless, in verse 27, Christ returns to stop man's raging warfare, as it's described more fully in other parts of the Bible. Now, go back to verse 15 there. Jesus says, in verse 15, let the reader understand. Understand what? Reader of what? How would you answer it? Well, he can't mean the New Testament, because you see, when he was saying this, there wasn't any New Testament. Now, when Jesus said, let the reader understand about the last days, the reader of what? Well, of Daniel, that he's mentioning in the same verse, which was written at that time. See, if you just stop and think about it, it becomes quite clear. We read through these things so quickly. He said, let the reader of Daniel, if you understand Daniel, and especially the 70th week of Daniel, you will understand the signs of the time when you pick up your newspaper, even when Walter Cronkite won't. Because we have God's word, and you will understand it. And now we are ready to get to the main verse. And I've typed it up in here. Could you use this if you have it inserted in your bulletin? If you do not, it's on page 771 in the Pew Bible. This is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. All through the centuries, Christians have rejoiced in this verse, have memorized this verse, have had it as a standard before their eyes, and have looked for the day when it would be fulfilled. Now, if you see, for those of you who have the insert, I have those verses on three different versions. The left is the Old King James, which says, 70 weeks of years are determined upon thy people. The middle is the Revised Version, which says, 70 weeks of years, which is what it meant. And the newer version, the Living Bible, on the right column is even clearer. It says, the Lord has commanded 490 years of further punishment upon Jerusalem and your people. Because the newest version is so clear, I'd like you to look at that. If you do not have it, the pulpit Bibles are just as good. Now, beginning at this verse, verse 24, remember, this was written 600 years before the birth of Christ. This predicts the birth of Christ and the last war, and we will show it to you now. This verse says that from the time Daniel received this vision, 600 B.C., to the end of the age, when everlasting righteousness, when the kingdom, everlasting righteousness, comes on the earth, that you and I pray for in the Lord's Prayer, there will be 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. Now think, 70 weeks of years means 70 weeks of years times 7, a weekday, and that comes 7 times 70 to 490 years. That's where you get in the right column here on verse 24, the 490 years in the New Version. Now look at verse 25 of the Living Bible translation. The angel says to Daniel, he wants him to get this straight because it's not of Daniel's age. Daniel couldn't understand it. The angel says, now listen, it will be 49 years plus, this is going to predict the coming of Christ in this, 600 years before time. It will be 49 years plus 434 years from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One comes. In 586 B.C., Jerusalem was in ruins again. The angel came to Daniel and said, Daniel, that particular temple in the past is going to be rebuilt. And on the year that that decree is issued to rebuild it, 483 years later, the Messiah is going to come. Now let's stop for a minute. 49 years, as is mentioned here in verse 25, plus 434 years comes to 483 years. Now look at verse 26. After this period of 434 years, plus the 49 that we mentioned earlier, coming to 483, the Anointed One, that is Christ, the Messiah, will come. So the Jews had the prophecy of the same year he would come. He will be killed. They had the prediction of his crucifixion. Remember, Jesus said, for the Son of Man will be killed as it was written. Where? In Daniel. See? The sanctuary will be destroyed. It was. Remember? And the city, that was, by the enemy, he was, remember, Titus, And from then on, war and misery will surround the city. So says Daniel 9:26. This is an amazing prophecy. 600 years before Christ. All we have to do is find the date that the decree went to rebuild the city. It's in Ezra chapter 7, verse 7, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. It was the year 457 B.C. Now, I've written this out, so each of you can take it home and study it and check up on me. Notice here what I have in the middle column. Down here I have 483 years. The angel said, deduct from it the year the decree goes to rebuild the city. That was 457 B.C. 457 B.C. from 483 brings us to A.D. 26. The Christ wasn't crucified then, but you see our calendar is wrong, as many of you know. In 492, a monk who made our calendar, which we use today, his name was Dionysius Exiguus, was terrible at arithmetic. And he made a mistake. And using the lunar calendar, Christ was not born in 1 A.D., but in 6 B.C. Or if you use the sun calendar, the heliacal calendar, he was born in 4 B.C. So using the lunar calendar, which Daniel used, 6 B.C. plus the zero between the 1 A.D. and B.C. for another year, 7, added to what the angel told Daniel, brings the date that Christ would be killed to 33 A.D. And it just so happened that the Messiah was killed in 33 A.D. Praise God. This is called the most fantastic prophecy in the entire Bible. Now, I know many of you know it, but still it's something to review for those of you who don't. It's something for us to rejoice in, to be happy about, and to speak constantly about. Dr. Arthur Petrie, a seminary professor, wrote in his book, The Message of Daniel, this note, quote, in the 17th century there was a dispute recorded in the city of Venice, Italy, between a famous Jew and a converted Jew who left his faith and became a Christian as to the sense of these verses in Daniel. I'm quoting the book. A noted Jewish rabbi was chosen moderator between the Jewish Christian and the Hebrew Christian. The converted Jewish Christian urged his arguments against the other Jews and Daniel with so much force. This was in the 17th century. See, this is nothing new. Everybody knows these verses. That at length the rabbi said, quote, let us close up our books, for if we go on examining this prophecy of Daniel any further, we shall all become Christians. It cannot be denied from the prophecy that the time of the Messiah's first coming is already past, yet we are modern men, and this is 1642. But whether Jesus of Nazareth be that person who will come again, I cannot determine. Unquote. And he closed his book and walked away. And people from his congregation turned to the Lord. But did you notice the most important part here? Between verse 26 and 27 is the time warp that I was speaking to you about. I'd like to just give you a minute to read verse 26 and 27 to see if you can pick it out yourself at first reading. Daniel 9, 26 and 27. Now let me explain. Look in verse 24. There's 490 years which will cover the whole history of the Jewish race on the earth before Christ returns. We went through 49 plus 434 came out to 483. 483 years were used up to verse 26. How many years does that leave you left? 483 away from 490 leaves how many years? Obviously. 7 years. How much is half of 7? 3.5. Or in the Bible, time, and half of time. You see? Or 1,260 days. Or 42 months. Now look closely. A time gap between 26 and 27. 70 weeks of years comes to 490. In verses 24 to 26, 69 weeks or 483 years of the prophecy have been fulfilled. But one week, one prophetic week of seven literal years remains. This seven-year period for the Jewish nation is still in the future, but is approaching rapidly. Now look at verse 26 again. There the city and the nation are predicted to be destroyed and scattered in war and misery after the Messiah is killed. Did that happen? This was 600 years before it happened. Did that happen? It did. Christ was killed in 33 AD. He rose and went back to heaven. In 70 AD, the Roman Emperor came, destroyed the city and the temple, and scattered the Jews all over the world, and since 70 AD, there never was a Jewish nation. But look in verse 27. What do you notice? Right. In this verse, the holy people are back again. They are a nation because they are making a treaty with another ruler, and you cannot make a treaty unless you are a nation. You see? In verse 26, they're no longer there. In verse 27, they're ready to make a treaty. Now, they were never there to make a treaty until 1948. Since 70 AD to 1948, there were no Jewish people there to make a treaty. In 1948, they became a nation in one day. In 1967, they captured the Holy City. You following me so far? The Jews have never made a treaty with anyone yet. But Daniel says they're going to make a seven-year treaty with a person called the Beast. We'll get to him next week. The seven-year treaty will be broken in half. You notice this verse, it says in verse 27, the king will make a seven-year treaty with the people, and after half that time, 3.5 years, he will break the treaty, and the last war will begin. To summarize what is not here, but to go a little ahead, the 10 nations will soon be together. It'll take another 4 or 5 years before they have a united leader. Jesus says, read your papers and watch for a seven-year peace treaty, because the Jews have never yet signed a peace treaty with anyone yet. They will. It will be with the leader of the 10 nations. During the first 3.5 years, the temple will be rebuilt. In the middle of the week, as it says here, the week of years, the treaty will be broken. This person, we'll come to him next week, will enter the temple, and the war will begin. Time, and half a time it will last, Jesus said, 3.5 years, and then the end will come. The end of man's rule and the beginning of Christ's rule. Praise God. The prophetic clock is ticking away. Now someone might say, Father Amon, how can you talk like this? Jesus said he's going to come like a thief in the night. And he said, you'll never know the day or the hour. He said that to his apostles. But he said, he didn't say he wouldn't know the year. He said he wouldn't know the day or the hour. And he also said that he would come as a thief in the night, but he would not come as a thief in the night to Christians. And I'd like to point this out to you. Look at page 1031. Because everybody remembers half the passage, that Christ will come as a thief in the night, but they don't know that he's only going to come as a thief to a pagan. You know, a crook comes in at night to steal something for you when you're asleep. But if you're not asleep, he's not going to steal from you, and you won't lose anything. So look at page 1031, chapter 5. Paul is talking about when Christ returns, and he says, as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But now, look at verse 4. But you are not in the darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Christians aren't going to be surprised like a thief in the night. That's only the pagans. They're going to be amazed. They're going to say, Christ is coming. And what's going on? And what's all of this? But Jesus says in verse 5, for you are the sons of light, the sons of the day. Verse 6, he says, so we're awake, not asleep. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a Christian will be surprised when a kingdom comes. It says we will know. And we'll be ready. Praising God. For Christian people, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and rejoice, for the redemption of your bodies is drawing near." Next week we will finish this series on the Jewish people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.